Remember, the future does what a good sermon title is supposed to do. Makes us wonder, what is all that about? Sermon titles are like doors. They don't let us see it all, but they invite us in. So that's one tip as to what we will find behind the door of Remember the Future. Another tip is to explain the words, Remember the Future. Words in strange combinations often challenge our thinking, and don't forget, we think in words. We can't think without them. Try to think without words. We can feel without words, but we use words to think. And when they come in strange or different combinations, we do notice. There's a story about a man who received what he thought was a poison pen letter. It was so critical. It was downright nasty. And the more he read, the worse he felt. And only when he read the closing line did he realize it was a joke. The roast letter was signed, Courageously Yours, Anonymous. Or think about somebody who's learning American English. They're just starting to learn American English. And they go shopping for the first time. What do you think they think when they see a package marked Fresh Frozen Jumbo Shrimp? Words in combinations are not just mind candy. Sometimes they can be learned or used to learn deep and extraordinary things. Consider the combination of that classic definition of faith found in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How can you be assured of something that's hoped for? How can you be convicted of things not seen, that is, not understood? The answer to those questions lead us to Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who is our future. He has lived in the past, and yet it is in remembering him that we handle all of life, past, present, and future. A very quick example of that is forgiveness. It was established in the past with the cross and resurrection of Jesus. With it, we are forgiven now in the present, which redirects our lives for the future, all the way from tomorrow to eternity. So back to the sermon title, Remember the Future. That is the way for us to celebrate our past, live today, and anticipate with confidence our future. Now, to help us celebrate the past, consider Romans chapter 11, verse 18. If you boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. And we do boast, and rightly so. We invite people to come to our church. We like our people. We like our windows. We like our music. We like our worship. We like our benevolences. We like our missions. And we do have something to share, Jesus Christ, and a way to do that. We have a history. The Reformed Church in America is the oldest Protestant denomination in North America, and we can trace our roots back through the Reformation, all the way to the apostles themselves. And we can do that because those who were in the past, who went before us, did what they did. And we are blessed for it. Our roots remembered their roots, and they thought about their past and their present and their future is who we are today. So we can and we should boast, all the while remembering our roots that still support us. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we can't get any more Tiffany windows. There isn't any room, and they're priceless, and they're not making any more. But we can take care of them. We can appreciate the ones we have. Sometimes we even have a Tiffany tour where they are explained. And we are taking good care of them. They have been cleaned and vented and re-protected with the latest polycarbonate safety over windows. That's remembering the future. Like those who put them there in the first place. They didn't install them for themselves alone. The windows were and are and will be there for all to see. Now, we can't live our lives over again, but we can shape and direct the lives of our children and our grandchildren, and we do that with our Christian witness by how we encourage them. We do it by speaking to them about the way they spoke to us during that Christmas program when, for the first time, they signed the Lord's Prayer. Remember that? We hadn't had a Christmas program in a long time. And so we were all so happy about it. Bob Michelle, who headed up the Education Committee years ago, almost levitated when we had that Christmas program. You remember that, Bob? It was great. And then when the kids signed the Lord's Prayer, it became a part of our history. And that is a part of remembering the future theirs because of what we do with them and for them that counts now. And it counts for later. And that leads to the second reason to remember the future. It affects how we live today. The next selected scripture passage is 1 Timothy chapter 8. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of life that is really life. Now, be careful with that verse. It's not about heaven, and it's not about earning our salvation tomorrow by how we act today. It's about today. They are to do good. It says that in order to live good tomorrow, we have to live good, not live well. We have to live good, do good today. We begin our future always today. We do it in the now. It's supported by our roots. It looks toward the future, but it happens by being Christian today. In doing that, as those who went before us did, and did their best in their day, making today possible for us, so we do our best, making tomorrow better for those who follow. Now, is that just theory, just kind of nice talk? I don't think so. It's as practical as repairing the heating system, refinishing the floor. Those of you who've been here as long as I have know that that floor you could see used to be black with coal and oil soot. Not anymore. You're sitting on replaced pew cushions. The old ones were made of kapok and horsehair, and I tried to give them away for dog beds, and nobody would take them. And now we enjoy the new ones. This was a hot summer. You think it was hot? You should have walked through the sanctuary, but you didn't have to because we air-conditioned the lounge. We maintained the organ. We replaced the front doors, painted the sanctuary, got new hymnals. We didn't do that just for ourselves. We did all those regular kinds of things today to be faithful today like our ancestors were and like those who will follow us, but only if today we maintain the connection and don't break the chain. For example, kids are off getting their pictures for Sunday school, which starts next week. And we have Sunday school teachers. Do you know why we have Sunday school teachers? Because somebody taught them. We have people in attendance at worship because somebody brought them and exposed them to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And we all recognize those words because somebody said them to us before. In other words, we do like those who did, so those who follow will. Try this little experiment. Ask your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews what they think about church. Better yet, ask them to play church with you. I once had a deacon who did that. And he was complaining about it. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, when I asked my daughter to play church, she always made me go down for the children's sermon." But you'll be amazed what they remember. You'll be amazed at what they notice. And it's a two-way street. We often now ask the children to sign the Lord's Prayer because we remember the first time they did it. It was a moving experience in the life and history of this congregation. They gave us a gift we will never forget, and that never forget is how we remember the future. And that leads us into the third and the last purpose, and that's to anticipate with confidence what's next. Listen to these familiar words of Jesus, but listen for the pattern of present, past, future, in that order. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, present, that I have commanded you, past, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age, future." As for the confidence part, listen to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to their own country." God has plans, and they're good plans. And that is the hope for the future, and that is how we remember the future. That old Hebrew text, "Your children shall come back to their own country." Let me update that. Today we translate the meaning like this: "Your children shall share your faith and exercise that faith with their parents," that's you, "and their parents' grandchildren," their own kids. What is it that makes parents happy? Their children's welfare. Hollywood calls that pay it forward. We say, remember the future. And doing that, we can anticipate the future with confidence, and we understand that for ourselves and for our children, when we think and feel how God acted and acts and will always act toward all his children. That's the way we remember the future. Amen. Join me in the prayer for blessing on the word. Together we pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word with joy. Amen.